not only are you like, let's clean civilization of the olds, but you're also like, let's segregate the youngs too. Let's get them out of here. You know, that's an interesting place. You're like, I'm appealing to the base, the belt of humanity.
You think you're going
to
shame me?
No, I'm not shaming. This isn't shaming at all. I'm fascinated.
I know. No, that's what I'm saying. The listeners think, oh, good. Stick it to her, Docs. That doesn't bother me at all. Y'all think, you think I have feelings? Feelings repressed. Enneagram 7. Welcome to the game.
Hello and welcome to episode number 507 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on the things that entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these premonitional pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter at Podcast Pop.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be SMKing the month of June.
But before we do that, you guys, we're not only SMKing the month of June, but over at our weekly newsletter, Note for the Audio, we have created a pop culture bucket list for the summer of 2023. What shows are worthy of a binge after a long day of sweating? Which movies do our staff swear by when the air is stagnant and the mosquitoes are not? What books would entertain but not matter? Make sure you're subscribed because this list goes out Friday, June 2nd. If you're not already one of the 24,000 subscribed, simply head to knoxandjamie.com/newsletter or click the link in the show notes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Jamie, it's time to talk the SMKs of June. I'm really excited. I always really like...
I love these episodes.
I like getting to like really focus in on a month because time is a flat circle for me and it's so fluid and I don't know what's going on most of the time. But when we get to like look at a month for what it's like, what the cornucopia of offerings it's bringing to us, I get really excited about that.
No, and I like, you know, of course, obviously with my astrology background, you know, I love a Gemini season because it's super fun. So
wow.
I like camping.
You're doing
out.
This real early, huh? You're just really...
Well,
you're testing the clown music.
I won't do it again, but the Geminis know. They know how fun they are. So I really do like, and I like complaining about months as well as celebrating them, you know?
Yeah, that's a fun pastime. Well, we'll go ahead and explain the premise here of if you haven't listened or you're new to the show or whatever, and you don't know what we mean. Generally, the reason we get excited about these episodes is because most of our episodes tend to hover above the timeliness of society and culture. So we aren't really consistently able to ever just be in the moment as much as we'd like, which is why we default and defer to some of these episodes sometimes. We get to be very responsive in preview episodes like this, especially when it's just for a month. And we also get to be curational, which we really like. So that's what the point is for these episodes. We're going to help you understand what content within a given month that you should either smooch, marry, or kill. Smooch, meaning something you should give a shot to. Marry, meaning something that we think you should commit some time to. And then kill, meaning something you should avoid or abandon. It's not literal murder, because here at the PMG, we're not cool with murder. We like smooching and we like marriage, But if we could, we'd murder. So somebody in the record about
it. We would always murder. Yeah.
Always murder at all opportunities. So that's kind of what we're trying to do here. Before we talk like specific offerings, do you just want to like take a moment and like talk general vibes on June?
Okay. So for me, you know, we talk about overrated, underrated, and properly rated. I think June is properly rated. It's in the middle of the year. And I would say it's a middle of the tier month.
Yeah. Midwestern month.
Absolutely. Listen, because obviously, as a reminder, the best months are and will always be October, April, and November. Okay.
I don't know how I feel about that, I want to snake draft that eventually. So I'm not gonna
exactly. And listen, the worst months are, as a reminder, August, February, and August. So those are.
It's always August.
I'm dreading it even now. But here's the thing: I do think my favorite part of June is watching parents literally try to pick themselves off the floor.
That's right.
That May has put them down. Like May was so brutal to my group of friends. It's my job as the childless to gather up the beaten down parent friends and make them fun again. You know what I mean?
Listen, it's at the end of Shawshank Redemption when Andy Dufresne has to go through like a mile of sewage pipe.
Yes.
That's what May is for people like us. And that's why I look forward to June, because the purifying waters of the moist air here in the South, the humidity, it bathes that septic sewage off me, and it makes me a person again, you know?
I know. And June is still, it is the best of the worst season. I'm not a summer fan. I know you love summer.
Huge summer energy here. Yeah.
Yes. And I don't like summer, obviously, because of all the swampy butts and all the things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. However, I will say June, we're still sometimes in the 60s at night. And mm-hmm. so I can sit on my porch. Mm-hmm. And drink my night milk, and I can just have a nice little moment outside. It's nice.
Yep. You're getting stung by mosquitoes, but it's nice.
No, citronella.
Outside.
Citronella.
Everywhere. Citronella. Let's build the whole plane out of citronella. You know what I'm saying? Like, why aren't we building houses out of citronella? That's what I don't understand.
Right.
Going into this, I was a little concerned that there wasn't going to be enough good stuff to talk about in June.
Oh, yeah.
But upon further review, I was like, oh, actually, there's a lot of different directions we can go with this episode. So I'm excited to see what we uncover here.
So every Friday on our Instagram, we do feature an SMK post, a Smooch, Marry, Kill. Now, sometimes those are what is happening that week in pop culture. We recommend Smooches, which are always movies on Instagram. Marries, which are always TV shows. So it's not about level of affection. It's about level of commitment. Okay. TV shows take longer. Okay. And then we have kills, which are things we recommend that you avoid. And guys, these are not green lights and red lights. They are simply recs that we create based on critics' reviews, audience reviews, and general internet chatter. So sometimes a kill will end up later. True story, a Knox green light. Because I do the SMK, and he's like, no, I freaking loved Red Notice. It was amazing.
This terrible movie was great in a terrible way that also made it good.
That's exactly right. And then we sometimes do specialized SMKs, themed, if you will. They might be built around a staffer or the Super Bowl, and we might create them around Recognition Month. So in May, because today is the last day, if you're listening on Wednesday, we created one for Asian Pacific American Heritage Month, featuring 73 top movies to watch, sorted by category with age recs for kids, which I love. And I left off the movie Lion, and I'm so sad about that. Please watch Lion. It's so good. So make sure you're following us on Instagram at The Popcast so that you can get those posted every Friday.
All right. So Jamie, do you want to kick us off with one of your smooches of June?
Yeah. So I'm actually making a smooch books because I know it feels like a commitment, but I'm a speed reader. So we can knock it out in a night. Guys, if you want some recommendations, I'll include some links in the show notes to some speed reading courses.
I have a question. I hadn't thought about this. Could I call myself a speed reader? Because I speed listen on audiobooks, and I feel like that's the same thing.
Let's go with what speed. I would say if it's over 1.4, I will allow it.
I'm going to look and see what my current project is. 1.7. I'm a 1.7,
100%,
1.8 guy.
That's a speed reading. Yes,
I'm a speed reader, guys. Thank you. Thank you for your
welcome.
Service.
It's a great crowd. Okay, so I have three books I'm going to recommend today. So the first one is a gothic. Okay, so if you liked Mexican gothic or if you liked Addie LaRue, The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, you might like this. It's Madalena and the Dark by Julia Fine. It comes out June 13th. So this is set in Venice in 1717. And a 15-year-old girl named Luisa, she just wants to be the best at violin. And so she wants to join this orchestra at her school under the protege of the great Vivaldi. Okay. Mm. Now she's good at violin, but she's not that great at violin. But she meets Madalena, who is mentioned in the title, and there's a scandal, and Madalena is sent to the school, and like she meets Luisa, and then they have like a friendship that maybe be more. But Madalena has a secret, so she invites Luisa into her plans, and then after a wager, they get to make a wish. They get to make a wish, and the wishes go awry. And so this book, the author called it Faustian Little Mermaid Fever Dream.
Oh,
and
that, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, that's 100% what this is. So I highly recommend it. My second book is nonfiction. It comes from Aisha Harris, who works for NPR. It's called Wannabe, Reckonings with the Pop Culture That Shapes Me. And so this is a book of essays on how pop culture shaped the author, Aisha. And she writes about the Spice Girls, Stevie Wonder, New Girl, so much more. It's really, really fantastic analysis, as well as just a fun, witty approach. One of my favorite essays is Kenny G Gets It. And you'll just have to read to find out what that means. And what's lovely is Aisha also is bringing her perspective as a Black woman and growing up as a Black person, consuming this culture. And it was such a, it's such a good read. And that comes out June 13th. And then my last recommendation is a thriller. It's called Code of the Hills by Chris Offit. It also comes out June 13th. Listen, this is set in Appalachia. You know what up? I love.
You know, Kentucky. The Bitter Southerner is selling a shirt that just says Appalachia. I was thinking about sending one to y'all because y'all live in Appalachia.
I could have an Appalachia spirit despite not living in Appalachia. But this is Kentucky noir. Offit has a recurring character called Mick Harden, and this is the third novel. Although I had not read the first two novels and I did not feel like I missed out on anything. But Mick is this veteran army investigator. He has gotten out after 20 years of service, and he's heading home before he retires to Corsica. And as he arrives, though, a body is discovered. It's a crusty old race car mechanic has been killed.
And like Mater from Cars has been killed?
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Mick, his sister, Linda, she's the sheriff. And chaos ensues. It really is, look. I liked one reviewer who said this is a love letter to Appalachia with a high body count.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
That's like my dream come true. So those are my three.
Kind of a title of a sex tape in a certain way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I have a couple questions with all those books because they all sound really good. I would like to defend you because 1700 from like 1720, not very cool. You know, it's kind of like the middle seasons of Lost. You're like, this is fine, but what's really happening here? Pirates kind of showed up, and that's pretty much it. There's not a lot of fun stuff.
I was going to say, isn't the 1700s like some of the worst times in history next to like the Black Plague?
Yeah. I mean, look, there, yeah.
I mean, I don't know about a lot of bad times in history.
In your limited scope, it's, you know what? I think it's not bad because like for plague reasons, but I bet people who lived then were probably like, I know the bubonic plague was terrible, but I'm bored. And that's also terrible in a different way.
Don't I wish there was more TV? See?
That's where Die from Boredom comes from, probably. I don't know that.
Well, maybe so.
Kenny G, can he get it? Maybe. He famously turned us down for a live show introduction. He would not do it. He would not.
I know. And we ended up, who did we have? Who did it? Who's that guy? Mark?
Don't. I'm not going to sit here and have Sugar Ray disrespected. First with his government name. Secondly, with you not remembering that he played us a medley and introduced us.
He did. You know? But you know why? He said Aaron's name. He's like, please welcome Aaron. And I was like,
yeah.
Well, what about us? And
I know.
Because Aaron introduced us. So because we were adamant that we didn't want Sugar Ray to introduce us. We wanted him to introduce Aaron. And Aaron,
let Aaron cockblock us from Sugar Ray?
I don't even think Aaron knows who Sugar Ray is.
There's no way she's seen any of his work, especially his music videos. Kentucky Noir, that's incredible. I didn't know that was a genre I'm in. Did you say the protagonist's name is Mick Hardman? Mick Hardman?
No, Mick Harden.
Like James Harden, but Mick Harden.
Yeah.
That is a lot, and I love all of it. I'm putting that on my to-be-read list because I'm a speed reader also.
So you can read it too. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's good stuff. Okay, my first smooch is it's a television program on Fox. It's an unscripted series, which get ready for that. A lot of that, you guys. We're going to be getting a lot of unscripted series, but it's called Stars on Mars. Do you have any idea what this is?
Have any idea.
Okay, Stars, I'm just going to read you some of like the press release stuff. Stars on Mars will feature a dozen celebrities competing to colonize Mars first. They'll receive their assignments from none other than William Shatner, serving as mission control. And the series will see the crew members live, eat, sleep, strategize, and bond with each other in the same space station. During their stay, they'll be faced with authentic conditions that simulate life on Mars, just like The Martian, I guess, like Matt Damon, like grow potatoes. They must use their brains and brawn and maybe their stellar social skills to outlast the competition and claim the title of brightest star in the galaxy. Does any of that bother you, or do you just have high hopes for this?
No, I'm actually, what's going to bother me is if you tell me there are lame, just like really lame D-list celebrities, if there's some good mix, I think I might be in for this show.
I'm gonna read you the cast list.
Okay.
And you flag me if you have a big problem or if you're really excited.
And again, this is because these people are starring in my reality show, not in the movie I want to watch. Okay.
That's right. Ahead. That's exactly right. Okay. This is how the website is describing these people.
Okay.
Former Modern Family star Ariel Winter.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. Actress Generous Tallulah Willis.
Okay. That's fine. Okay.
Real Housewives of Atlanta star Portia Williams.
Oh, yes. Portia?
Singer-songwriter Tinashe, I think, is
okay,
how you pronounce it.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Football player Richard Sherman.
Wait.
He's a good one. He's on Amazon's telecast.
Right.
Vanderpump Rules star Tom Schwartz. I don't know who that is.
The least of the Vanderpump Rules stars. Yes, okay.
Ronda Rousey, wrestler and UFC fighter Ronda Rousey.
I was going to say.
And then Olympic figure skater Adam Rippon. I'm assuming that's how you
pronounce it. I love that you pronounce it like Poupon. It's Rippon. But
Rippon, just Rippon. Okay. Rippon. That's my fault. Sorry, Adam.
I mean, I think he might sometimes say Rippon.
Sure.
Yeah.
Actor Natasha Leggero. I would have thought comedian, but
I would have thought comedian too. I love Natasha Leggero.
Now I'll save the best for last. The best three. And I want you to rank these after I read them to you.
Okay. Three. Okay. Ready.
Super Bowl champion, Marshawn Lynch. And I would say improv actor. Now,
I love Marshawn Lynch. Okay.
Superbad star, Christopher Mintz-Plus, a.k.a. McLovin. They
Plus
did have to tell
A.
us.
Plus A. McLovin?
McLovin.
Okay.
And then finally, this is how they describe him. Disgraced one-testicled cycling champion, Lance Armstrong. The one testicle was my addition. That's not fair. They did call him disgraced.
Wow. Though. They did call him disgraced, though?
They did.
In the press release?
Who are you most excited out of those three to watch?
Well, it's for sure Marshawn Lynch because I love him. If I could just watch a ring camera of him going into his house every day, I would watch it. That's how much I love him. But I also am kind of interested in Lance Armstrong taking this too seriously and then being very disappointed on how it plays out.
Yeah. There's some big rage energy with Lance Armstrong that I don't know that he can corral. I'm excited about this because, like I said, it's kind of fortuitous because we're about to get a tsunami of unscripted shows starring D to H list celebrities because of the writer's strike. But I also really, I don't know that I generally love reality TV, but I do love the genre of like the sad purgatorial show where people are trying to like, if they do well enough, they can ascend a little bit. You know, like they saw Flava Flav and they were like, that could be me. You know, if I play my cards right, now I'm on the up and up instead of dancing with the stars on the way out. So I wanted to talk through for a second of just like how to design a reality TV show cast.
Okay.
Because there are archetypes, there's tropes, and I feel like you can recognize if one's going to be worth your time
based on
how well they hit some of these categories. So number one, you need some desperate and fading celebrities. We obviously have that here.
Yes.
It's important they have to be willing to compete. So I've got some suggestions. Like I'm casting a dream show. I need you to choose two out of these four people.
Okay. Ready.
Aaron Paul, ooh, Misha Barton, Terry Crews, Candace Cameron Bure.
Oh, it's Candace Cameron Bure.
It is.
And it's Terry Crews.
It is. Terry Crews is only thanks to Brooklyn Nine-Nine is he still like in the convo, but he is so close to being out of the convo. You know, I think the dream reality TV contestant, he'll never do it because he doesn't have to, but he would have the best energy as Ben Affleck. If you get Ben Affleck on, it's like Stars to Mars, you know, that would be like
and
the dream
just, and
for
you
me.
Just pump Duncan into his veins.
God, come on, guys, please.
You know what he would do? Here's the thing, because what's great about Candace Cameron Bure is that she's going to start off as a nice celebrity.
That's right.
But then something is going to trigger her.
Yeah.
And it's going to go south really fast. And someone on Mars who is queer is going to get really have their feelings hurt. And then it's going to be like, Terry Crews is going to come rescue them. You know what I mean?
She's going to only like disattach the oxygen for people who are of a different sexuality. And she'll be like, it was just a coincidence. And then talking to camera face.
I didn't understand the manual because it was also in French. I'm so sorry.
It's tough. Okay. So you're going to need one Real Housewife and one former Survivor. This is the perfect brew of any reality TV show because these are two shows where people know how to strategize, but make good television. You've never regretted having either of these people on. So I just need you to think of one housewife, any housewife that you can think of.
Bethany.
Perfect. Bethany works. And then for Survivor, I'm going to add Parvati, Shallow, and Rupert. Those two in there, boom. Now we're really cooking. Okay.
We are cooking, yes.
You need a comedian to be the host. Okay. It's important to have a host who can roast people, but also keep the trains on time.
Yes.
So would you prefer Taylor Tomlinson or Neil Brennan?
God, it is Neil Brennan. Here, and I love Taylor Tomlinson.
It's close. It's close.
But Neil Brennan can talk S-word about everybody. Like,
I feel like Neil Brennan cuts you to the bone.
He cuts you to the bone, and then he's like, hey, I have bipolar disorder. They actually both have bipolar disorder. Is that why they're great comedians? Because they are fantastic, both of them.
Okay, you need someone who is soft launching a return after being canceled. Okay, it's very important. Probably looking at Lance Armstrong in this scenario,
right.
But I'm going to give you four here.
Okay.
Louis C.K., Shia LaBeouf, Aziz Ansari, Armie Hammer.
Listen.
Say Armie Hammer. Just say Armie Hammer.
It is. Because I was like, I'm sad that I want it to be Armie Hammer because I want Bethany to come over and be like, what's the best part of a human to eat? Because she would do it. She would do it.
Okay. You also need former athletes. I'll pick this one and I'll let you do the last category.
How dare you? I know athletes.
Listen, you are more than welcome to speak into this. I just feel very strongly about the role. You need former athletes because they're oblivious. Them on a competitive reality show is like a slap bracelet, like in a grenade fight. They're just not equipped to deal with the mental terrorism of reality TV because they've always been catered to and deferred to. So I'm considering Terrell Owens, Brett Favre, Chipper Jones, and Ben Roethlisberger. I'm going to pick Terrell Owens and I'm going to pick Chipper Jones.
I like both of those.
Yeah. I think they would be fun and not a good energy once you get.
And Chipper and Candace would form an alliance.
Yes, they would. Okay. Last category. You need a young, hungry social media celebrity types, like Young Turks who want to go at the throat of the establishment. I'm thinking like pre-famous Billy Eichner, like Billy on the Street, you know, that kind of energy. So I don't know any of these people. I don't know any of these social media celebrity types. Like the best I can come up with the Bones or No Bones dog, but I think he's deceased, RIP.
Noodles is dead.
Sorry,
he's actually
Noodles.
Been replaced, and he was replaced pretty fast. I know we were like, oh, he's mourning. And a week later, he had a new identical dog. To Noodles. Like,
I think we talked about this, but again, I just wish he'd been like, nah, this is still Noodles, bro. And you look up and Noodles is 38 years old. And we're like, what?
That would have been good. Well, obviously the answer, if you're looking for somebody that's going to bring a lot of spice into the room, it is going to be Drew Afualo. Drew Afualo, who her whole thing is, her tagline on TikTok is, that's Baba Yaga to you ho. And she just takes down misogynists on TikTok.
Okay.
Anyone who posts a misogynist video, she just talks trash about them. But she's also like super fit and like pretty aggressive. So that's why she would be perfect.
Oh, she would be a great straw to just stir the drink a little bit. So that's the kind of stuff you're looking for in a reality TV show. You're looking for that kind of conflagration of personalities. I don't know, you know, that Stars on Mars has what it takes, but I'm definitely going to give it a smooch. Give it a try.
I'm going to smooch that. I am going to smooch it for sure.
Okay. What's another smooch you got?
Okay. My second smooch is Kelly Clarkson. June is a big month for her. And let me tell you why. First, her ex-husband, Brandon, finally has to move out of the Montana ranch that she got in the divorce.
Now, again, that is Reba McEntire's son?
Reba McEntire's ex-stepson.
Whoa. Okay. That's messy.
Yeah. Because listen, drama Kelly Clarkson and Reba McEntire got out of that block stock.
Wow.
Heard. They got out of that. So, but the Montana ranch, like, was such a big, because he was living in it and paying $2,000 a month for rent.
Okay. On a ranch? Oh my gosh.
And that's valued at almost $18 million.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
Talk about the courts. Anyway, but the best thing about June, so he's moving out. So that's a good month for her. But also, her album finally comes out called Chemistry on June 23rd. Now, why does this matter? Because A, woman scorned albums are always really good. Lemonade, Rumors, Back to Black, Blue, Reputation. Those are great albums. I also really like the lead singles that she's put out, Me, Mine, and Favorite Kinda High. They're very good. Co-writers include Positive, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Great.
Who herself has written a great scorned woman album. Nick Jonas.
Okay.
I don't like that as much, okay?
He's the one I read recently had to, and guys, I just want to be completely honest with you. We're recording this ahead of time. This is May 24th
because I'm going to be out of town.
I know, sorry.
You made it so far. You made it a long time.
I just read about Nick Jonas and like he had a bad guitar solo, so he went to like therapy or rehab or something. And I was like, there's a lot going on there, you know? So I just don't know if I want him writing on my song.
No, that's right. And then she has collabs on this album. Sheila E., excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Martin,
I don't know.
Okay. That's so strange that I'm interested. You know.
Now, here's the thing. The reason I'm making it a smooch and not a Mary is because I haven't heard the whole album. And Kelly Clarkson hasn't had an album in 6 years. Because, listen, you can make a masterpiece in 6 years. But you can also, in 6 years, make an ornery first grader who still tries to poop in the yard. So I can't guarantee that this album will be great, but I am very much looking forward to it.
This might be a dumb question. Is the Woman Scorned album, like, that's a different kind of album from breakup albums, right? Like, breakups are more, like, mournful and, like, lamenty, and Scorned is more, like, rage and, like, energy. Is that right?
That's what I think. I mean, although I would say Blue by Joni Mitchell, which I listed above, is very sad and depressing. Yeah. But I like the Lemonade back, like Amy Winehouse's Back to Black, very angry. I prefer an anger rather than a lament. Like,
yeah, I like an activated artist, you know? So if she's ever going to come back and have a good album, it's right now. So I'm excited to hear that as well. I'm going to do a TV show. This is a scripted TV show now. It's called Based on a True Story, and it's coming to Peacock. And the summary, the synopsis is inspired by a bizarre, actually true event. This show is about a realtor, a plumber, and a former tennis star whose lives unexpectedly collide, exposing America's obsession with true crime, murder, and the slow close toilet seat. This stars Chris Messina, Kaylee Cuoco. I don't know if that's how you say it, but that's fun to say it like that, and I want to. Her Pregnancy, also starring in it, and Nancy from Stranger Things. This is created by this guy, Craig Rosenberg. He worked on Lost and Preacher, and Jason Bateman is exec producing with him. I'm really interested in this because it's Peacock, and I know that sounds weird, but their track record with me is pretty good. They have really good. Yes. I think we've talked again and again about Netflix said they want to do gourmet cheeseburger TV shows. They haven't done it, but Peacock actually has, like The Resort. I think this is going to fall in that line. I'm also interested because Kaylee Cuoco, coming off the success of Flight Attendant, I think she's got some heat. I think she's got good taste, and she knows how to make good TV. The trailer to this, it's very podcast heavy. It's very Murders in the Building. But if you didn't have Steve Martin, Selena Gomez, and Martin Short, like if you have more, active, more dynamic kind of action in the story, I'm really interested in this.
Well, I'm very interested in this because of Chris Messina. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like he ends up only being bit parts in Boston set movies or historical like remakes or whatever. And so I would like to see him. Like, I want to see him cook again. Like, I love him.
This is very much Danny in Mini Project kind of energy instead of because in Air, he got to play like a big a-hole. And I don't know that he did great, but I think this is more returning to like his sweet spot. When I was watching the trailer, it made me think like Kaylee Cuoco versus Catherine Hahn. Are we approaching like there can only be one territory with them? Like someone's got to steal somebody's lunch money eventually?
No, that can't be right. Because listen, how old is Catherine Hahn? Catherine Hahn is 49.
Okay.
How old is Kaylee Cuoco? She's 37. That's a 12-year difference.
So we got a generational boundary there. So we're okay.
Right.
So she could play her daughter or something. And Kaylee that
like,
math is bad. Sorry.
Well, Kaylee feels older because it's like she's been acting since, What's His Face died in 8 Simple Rules. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. But even if you watch this trailer, and Indy, we'll put it in the show notes so you can check it out. There's something about her that reminds me of like new generation Jennifer Aniston, almost like a Midwestern Jennifer Aniston,
I like that. Yeah, no,
and it's
I like that.
Really interesting if she had taken on like more I'm a wife, I'm a mom, like those kind of roles. I feel like Kaylee Cuoco is really embodying that in a clever, interesting way. So I'll be excited to see how that does.
Me too.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone, and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
Okay, those are smooches. Jamie, would you like to talk about any Marys for the month?
My first Mary is a holiday that your white grandpa can't quite figure out what it is, and that is Juneteenth. Okay, so since 1865, lots of people have been celebrating Juneteenth, but it only recently, in the last couple of years, became a federal holiday. And so Juneteenth is when you can play this for your weird uncle, okay, who's like, I thought we gave them MLK. I don't understand. Listen, well, okay.
Time stamping this now. Just start playing here.
Just start playing this.
And then they can understand, yeah.
And I can just be like, hey, Robert. So this is, Juneteenth is celebrating when American troops finally arrived in Galveston, Texas, bringing news of the Emancipation Proclamation, which was actually a full 2.5 years after it was signed into law, because that's how long it takes to travel in the 1860s from D.C. to Galveston. And but it also happened 2 months after Robert E. Lee's surrender. Again, he surrendered because he lost at Appomattox. Okay, so now if you're listening and you're Black, you already know how to celebrate. Congratulations. If you're not and you don't know, well, I want to share some ways that I celebrate Juneteenth, and that is with my cash. Okay. I want to buy from Black creators. I want to purchase Black art. I want to buy from restaurants owned by Black men and women. I want to support nonprofits whose sole purpose is to serve African-Americans, let me give you some tips real quick. Okay, first of all, just to buy some beauty brands that are owned by Black CEOs, this is what I want you to buy from them. Oma Beauty, their lipsticks are unparalleled, and they're all named after iconic Black women. Ami Colay, which is a new brand that has been at Sephora. The cream blush and the lip oil, excellent. These are holy grails. Briogeo, I have never not had the Don't Despair Repair Deep Conditioning Mask in my shower. Like, never. Since the moment I bought it, I've rebought it many times. And then for skincare, I really love Shawnee Darden's skincare line. Her retinol reform, I actually use in conjunction with my prescription retinol. Now, as far as pop culture, another great way on Juneteenth weekend is to go see The Blackening. We talked about this in the summer movie preview.
Oh, yeah.
This comes out June 16th. It's about a group of Black friends who reunite for a Juneteenth weekend getaway, finding that they're trapped in a remote cabin in the woods, yes, with a twisted killer. It's directed by Tim Story, who did Ride Along, Barbershop, Think Like a Man. It was co-written by Tracy Oliver, who did Girls Trip, the TV show Harlem. And then it's also co-written by Dwayne Perkins, who did the Amber Ruffin Show and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And so
the premise is, they're getting killed in order of their Blackness, right?
That's right. Because like the question is, obviously, the ultimate question in a horror film is, if the entire cast is Black, who dies first?
So clever. I love it so much.
I'm so excited to watch it. So that's my recommendation.
That's good. Part of me was like, man, we should have brought back our Ask a Black Jamie segment, but I don't want to upset all the white people again. All of the white people who
all
got so mad about it.
All the white people did not enjoy the Ask, but Jamie Grace is our Black Jamie, and yeah, she is very kind. She got mad at us because we said no famous people listen to our show, and she was like, hello.
Sorry.
I was like, well, she does have hundreds of thousands.
She's such a good
followers.
Friend. You know when you're just like, you like someone and you feel like you're friends with them? You don't see them as famous, you just
see
them as your
friend.
Yeah,
you forget about all the like iconic music and what a hero on YouTube she is. I forget.
Yeah, our bad. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that, Black okay. Jamie.
I'm gonna do. I'm gonna marry just generally like some returning TV. Okay. We've mentioned this in recent The More You Knows. But the Bear season 2 is coming back. We just saw the trailer.
I'm so excited.
Got to watch it. That's gonna be really exciting. This is something that if you didn't watch the first time around or you felt like people were peer pressuring you, stop it. You're being foolish. You're being stubborn and stupid. And I'm guilty of this. I've done this. The Bear's worth it. Go ahead and catch up on the first season and you can watch the second season live. It's going to be great. One of my favorites, you know, a lot of times at our AUAs, we get questions like, what's a half hour comedy, that I should watch or something like, oh, it's a lunch break show or like a palate cleanser before bed. I try to bring up as much as I can. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
They are coming back for their 16th season. They make just some of the most demented, but I don't want to say kind and gentle because it's very much not kind and gentle, but the bananas and berserk humor is like gentle to my soul. So if you're looking, if you've got that half hour comedy hole in your heart, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You can just crank through 16 seasons and they're all so very good. I would recommend that. And then lastly, Jamie, did you get a Google alert because the Droughtlander is about to be over?
Uh-oh.
That's right. Season 7, it's coming back. It's Jamie. It's Jamie and the Sassenach, you kin. If you've watched the trailer, this season has American Revolution battles, frontier births, lightning bugs, straightforward arson, and middle-aged sex scenes. So if any of those things sound interesting to you, you're going to get a lot of that.
The best part, too, is that they're not getting as old as they got in the books. Like,
no.
It's like Claire just always looks the same as she did that first season, which I
– yeah.
But they're like, oh, no, her hair is up. And it's
see,
like,
they put her hair up
with those same boobs.
There's like some white streaks in it. And then every time Jamie stands up, he does like the – like he's old now, you know, like stuff like that.
Because actually, in reality, they'd be dead by now. You know,
they
what?
Should be. They
you
should.
Know what I'm saying? Because like, yeah, you didn't live past 45. Come on.
Well, maybe he dies in this. We don't know because he's going to fight in an American Revolution battle. And I'm personally excited because I've managed to trace an ancestor in my family tree back to the Battle of Culloden, which is where the British defeated the Jacobites fighting under the Bonnie Prince Charlie, which is the point of season 2 of Outlander and
oh,
part of season
is
3.
Is it? Because that sounds like the Battle of Clotted Cream, and Clotted Cream is the best thing to come out of Britain.
I mean, that's kind of how it went for the Jacobites. It was not a fun endeavor for them. Yikes. So okay. I'm really excited. That's most of the really good returning TV. And I think all of those are worth your time and your
investment. No, I think so too.
What else are you marrying, Angie?
Okay, I'm marrying. Look, it's summer, guys, and I don't get to talk about this as much because we talk about pop culture, but I just want to make sure that you're set right on the snack course for summer. Okay. Summer's about sneaky snacks. Now, sneaky snacks is a term I coined, and it's about a snack you're not necessarily hungry for, but you want it. Okay. Yeah. It's like, do I need a sneaky? And that's what you do. You ask yourself, do I need a sneaky snack? I'm going to jump in here and get a cookie fix. That's what I did yesterday. That was my sneaky snack. Got that presidential cookie. It's so good. Now, here I'm going to give you three recommendations for sneaky snacks this summer. First, you just want to eat chips and salsa for 90 days straight. Okay. Mm-hmm, and the best chips will forever be, as introduced to me by Bree McCoy and Kendra Adachi, the Late July tortilla chips. You can get them at like all your grocery stores. They're so good. And listen, I just had the Mexican street corn.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. They're so good. So that's the chip you want. They have sea salt. They have jalapeno and lime, blue corn, all the things. But then you want the salsa, and it's Mateo's. Mateo salsa forever. It's because I don't like onions in my salsa because I feel like they take up too much real estate in the jar.
What? That's preposterous.
I know. It's crazy. But as long as I've got, listen, that's why I love Mateo salsa. And it comes in six flavors, including habanero hot, extra hot. And so that's my recommendation for chips and salsa. Also, I would be remiss if I did not remind you guys about the patio potato chips from Trader Joe's. I went this weekend and the shelf was empty. And I went over to the guy and I was like, what's happening here? And he goes, tomorrow night. And I was like, okay, I'm coming back.
Oh, did he ring the bell? Did you make him ring the bell?
No, I didn't, because we were in the aisle. I didn't make him walk up to the front. But I did buy three bags. And I said, is this ridiculous that I'm buying three bags? And she was like, no, normally people buy six, always.
And I was like, I like that. It went like, make me feel better. And then she shamed you. She's like, there's actually pros here, you know?
Yeah. And then, those chips, patio chips, if you're wondering where they are, they combine four chips into one bag. So it's dill chips, ketchup chips, barbecue chips, and salt and vinegar chips all in one bag.
I wondered where those went.
Yeah, they're seasonal.
I did not know that.
You have to get them now. You have to get them. I saw that Indy, she posted on her story. She was like, I got them. Because they were going to stop. They'll stop. Because that's what Trader Joe's does. They're like, oh, did you like this? Well, you'll have to wait a year to get it.
I love it. It's genius. You know, work for the Girl Scouts, works for them. And just in case people are confused, the patio chips, they are not related to the Patio Theater in Chicago, Illinois, who still does owe us a lot of money. And despite having
our money. I think today is their deadline to not have to go to court with us.
To not go to litigation. Yeah, they still need more time to come up with the money that they already spent. But those chips are not. If you buy those chips, you are not paying us or them. Okay.
As a reminder, guys, they owe us your ticket money that you submitted. They have not given it to. And when we say they owe us, we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Double-digit thousands. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a lot.
But yeah. But yeah, it's fine. But it's okay. You know, it's why contracts are important. And that's a lesson we learned.
Well, listen, here's the other thing. I don't think we're talking enough about drinking watermelon punch all summer long. I love watermelon. I know watermelon.
Honestly, I thought you were like really like wanting to talk about our legal situation. The seriousness of your tone and your voice dropped so much that I kind of got worried. I was like, am I about to be served papers? What's happening here?
No, but I am serious about watermelon punch.
Wow.
Listen, that's when I get my most. we're suing, not suing. That's a whole thing. What will I report? I don't know. But watermelon punch, listen, you want to puree yourself some watermelon. You throw that into a blender, into your Ninja, add a splash of vodka.
Yeah.
Some fresh lime, add a little simple syrup. Bree McCoy makes a great honey simple syrup, which I think is the superior simple syrup. We'll put a link to the recipe. But listen, you should be drinking watermelon punch all season long.
See, when a good rule of thumb for me when I'm making an alcoholic drink is when I start it, I think of a former star of a TGIF show or just some other show like during my childhood, and I try to remember their real name, and I pour until I remember their real name. So I'll think of like Al on Home Improvement, and I'll be like, gulp, 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 Richard Carnes. Boom. That's how much alcohol. You know what I mean? That's how God speaks to me, right? God speaks in different ways to different people.
That's right. So. Well, and listen, if y'all are wondering, like, how do I pick out, Jamie, do you know how I can pick out a watermelon? I don't know much about the grocery store, but I do know how to pick out a good watermelon. And you got to have that little, you got to have that creamy field spot where it's been sitting in the field longer.
I don't like any of that, what you just said. I hate it, actually.
You didn't like the creamy field spot?
No.
So that's where the stripes get like sketchy. That's what you want. That's what you want because that is going to be full of flavor. That's what you want.
And I cannot emphasize this enough for listeners. The hand gestures that you made while you were saying that are worthy of an HR intervention.
Listen, if it's got that smaller webbing on it, Oh, that's going to be the blandest watermelon. And you're going to be so mad because you'll have dragged that thing home and you'll get out that big knife and you'll be like, oh, what a waste of time and money this was.
I was sitting here thinking, would I rather listen to people explain predestination or how they know how to pick the perfect watermelon? And I think it's predestination because I've heard it has to be like a deep kind of hollow, but also full sound when you knock on it. I've heard like the creamy field spots. I've heard the sketchy.
Well,
I've heard all of this.
Let me be clear.
Stuff.
The creamy field spot needs to be orange more than white. Okay. No white, no whites. The white is no taste.
Wow.
It's the orangey. Like I've been in the dirt. I've been sitting in the dirt.
I don't know why we had to bring racists into this, but I guess we have to. I guess I'm surprised. I thought you'd be pre-sliced watermelon, Jamie, at this point.
Oh, 100% I am. I just was helping other people out.
You're just if you want to look like an everyday person, like of the people,
when Oprah made a lot of money, she was like, what was the first thing that you splurged money on? She was like, I got nice towels. Listen, yeah. I have real sketchy towels from used towels from like a thrift store, which,
sure.
Listen, they just got to dry me. What do I got to feel good?
No shade, but I do need you to qualify sketchy towels. Like, am I talking
spots,
rips?
They got holes in them. Lots of rips. Lots of rips. Very thin. Very thin.
Well, see, but I just think that helps it dry better. You know, that's just aerodynamic.
Right? That's
you know
what the Turkish towel is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I do instead of spending money on towels is I spend money on pre-cut fruit. I love pre-cut fruit. It's my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing. So I'm the one. If you're wondering, who's buying all these plastic containers of pre-cut fruit? It me.
I do love pre-cut vegetables, you know? This feels more economical.
So that's so embarrassing.
I know. It's not fun, but I do. I'm like, man, I could have an onion just ready to go. Like, I don't have to do the thing. Like, that's then the onion skin. And do I include that? Do I not? It's very confusing. I think that's helpful. I think that the watermelon passion is what people need to hear. So.
But if you've got the money, just get it pre-cut. That's the way to go.
Just get it. Keep the holy towels and the stained towels and get the pre-cut food, you know?
That's right.
I'm gonna marry two books. You mentioned a couple of books or three books earlier. I've got two as well. The first one is 100 Places to See After You Die, and that is after, not before.
Oh,
and it's the hook. It's the whole hook of the thing, right? That's how they get you. This is by Jeopardy co-host or person Ken Jennings. But the style of this book is it's travel guide. But instead of recommending must-see, actual destinations, what Ken Jennings does is outlines journeys through the afterlife, documented over 5,000 to 6,000 years of human history by writers and movie makers and TV showrunners and stuff like that. So it's really just an index of 100 different afterlife destinations all across the board and why you should check it out. I think that's a really clever way to go about it because I think I've often been fascinated by how the afterlife is depicted. So I think this feels really made for me. So I'm excited to check this out.
Oh, I bet he goes to the good place.
Probably. I hope he does. It's
I
worth
hope he
it.
Does. Yeah.
The other one, this is a fiction book, and this is Girls and Their Horses. This felt timely because I think in last week's episode that we released actually today, so that's why it's kind of confusing and I have to tell myself this. We talk about horse girls and car guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Talk about, yes.
So this felt very timely. This is Girls and Their Horses, and it's by Eliza Jane Brazier. The synopsis is when the nouveau riche Parker family moves to an exclusive community in the heart of Southern California, they believe it's their chance at a fresh start. Heather Parker is determined to give her daughter's life she never had with horses. That's real. She signs them up for riding lessons. She becomes a barn mom, part of a group of wealthy women who hang at the stables, drink wine, and prepare their daughters for competition. And it's not long before the Parker family is enmeshed in the horse world and the mean girl cliques, the barn romances, and the dark secrets. I gotta be honest, when I was, this is really well reviewed. And when I got into the description, I was like, this sounds great. I just don't know if it's my speed, you know? But then they land it with, before the summer's over, lies will turn lethal, accidents will happen, and someone will end up dead. And I go back to a core value of my heart and my life and my soul, wealthy dysfunction. It's undefeated. It's always undefeated.
Yeah, because when I pulled up this book, I didn't love the cover because
it's a horse girl.
Is she in Top Gun, but also there's a horse there?
What's bad about anything you just said?
But this thing has 4.3 stars on Goodreads. No, people on Goodreads don't like anything.
Let's get that
impressive
horse in an Apache jet fighter. I don't know if that's the right word, but let's get that horse up there and see what happens, you know? So those are two books I think are worth marrying this June. Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you'd like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Okay. Yeah, we've smooched. We've married.
Yes.
Now let's talk about what we're killing this year.
Okay. Well, it's official. I have killed Indiana Jones. I think he is going to die himself. My guess is he dies in this movie. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But here's the thing: we're getting the umpteenth Indiana Jones. And as a reminder, this premiered at Cannes. And here's the deal: the reviewers. It's the only Indiana Jones in history that was not certified fresh. All of the others have gotten 70.
Crystal Skull was?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? A lie. That's a lie from hell.
But this has 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. And this was Raphael Abraham, who is a critic I like, wrote, "What's vexing is the nagging feeling that there's a much better Indiana Jones film buried in there somewhere. But it would require a feat of archaeology or at least a rewrite and some judicious editing to excavate it."
Oh, that is horrifyingly punny, but also probably true.
I know. But here's why this matters to me. We need to send a message to Hollywood that we do not want the olds being given $150 million budgets.
Like, no.
We just don't. And look, Harrison Ford, I even retweeted a moment because they went to the red carpet and his wife, Calista Flockhart, they've been together 20 years, by the way. Is that not crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't even deal for the win.
That's right. And so he is in the other room. And so it's a picture of her in her pretty dress. And he's like sneaking in through the doorway and he doesn't know that like he's being captured, but he's like got Auga eyes like at her. And it is the sweetest thing to be like, oh, look at him at 112. being hot for Calista. That's
he's aging like 3 years per every 1 year she's aged. She looks just like she's on the set of Ally McBeal.
Yeah,
like,
she looks great. The same. It's really stunning. Yeah. So
I appreciate that you are committed to being the Jared Mencken of ageism on this podcast. You are like, we need to purify our cinemas. We need to wash out the old and bring in the new. That's a good look.
Listen, here's what I would like the olds to do. Do old roles. Do things that make sense for you being 80. And guess what? Being an archaeologist swinging from a vine is not appropriate for your age. You're going to break a hip and die.
Here's an idea. Harrison Ford in the new Fast and Furious movie, but he's jamming up the car races because he can't pick which lane he wants to be in, and he's pausing to look at his phone, and he's stopping traffic. That's a good realistic
role. Listen, it's like Jessica Williams said, because she, I loved The Shrink. Shrinking the People? Shrinking. I loved it, and Harrison Ford is in it. And she said, when somebody said, how is it like working with him? And she goes, well, I actually took the fact that he has this gravitas for who he is in Hollywood, and I applied it to his character, who has a lot of gravitas as a therapist. She goes, also, it did take us a day or two to get used to each other. And she said it, she goes, because people over 75 make me nervous because they're stuck in their ways and you have to figure out their vibe. And I thought, that's exactly true. When you meet someone over 75, you have to be like, what's your vibe?
Yeah.
Are you gross? Are you weird? Are you normal and fun?
And look, to defend the olds for a second, I get it because you're old.
Wow.
And
you're defending the olds?
Do I like that they just like back out of parking spaces in their driveways and they don't look anymore? They just expect you to get away. I don't love it, but I respect it because I'm like, they've lived this life and they're ready to go at any point. You know.
And also, if y'all are like, how old could Harrison Ford be? Y'all, summer birthday, 81.
81,
so,
and he looks 81, and he's a famous person that looks 81. That's crazy. So, Jamie, hypothetically, if I was maybe on a gambling site right now and maybe it was offering me odds on Indiana Jones being under 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, or over. The under is a plus bet. So if I bet $100, I win $200.
Oh,
would you bet that?
I would. I actually would.
Yeah, but I don't know if like I don't know about horny fanboys, horny for old Harrison Ford. And like, they're like going to be brought to climax if he gets a bullwhip out. I don't know if that'll be enough to like buoy it up over 50.
Well, listen, Jan wants us to go, but I am using a gift card so it doesn't come any money out of my pocket to see. I'm not even using my AMC Movies of the Week. I'm like, absolutely not. I don't want any money to come out of my PNC account.
You got to save it. We can't encourage this. I'm going to do, okay, this is interesting because I'm going to pick the TV show The Idol, which we are actually potentially pilot programming.
I'm very nervous about that. As we've gotten close, that is on the whiteboard. And as we've gotten closer and more things have been revealed, I'm like, oh, this going to be bad.
Yeah,
in talking about something that's really bad.
Let's pull back the curtain and just like do some production notes here for a second. I've heard through the grapevine, through some sources, I've got some sources here or there, and this is going to be a very controversial, very much discussed show. I also did see that there's some Master B stuff going on.
Uh-huh.
And, that's not like in my Venn diagram of what I'm wanting to do or get into. So I'm torn about like, should we talk about this very topical thing that's also very kind of spicy and weird? Or should we just like go for something cool and chill? I just don't know what people want.
Well, what if I told you that on Rotten Tomatoes, of all the reviews, one person positively reviewed it and his name is Lex and he has no profile photo?
Okay, I love that. I love that we know Sam Levinson's burner account on Rotten Tomatoes now. Man, part of me is like, let's do the podcast, Kaylee Cuoco show. But I do love dunking on something. I do love watching the Titanic break apart.
And listen, Robbie Collin from the Daily Telegraph just wrote, even the music is bad.
Oh,
that's brutal.
That's tough. That's tough.
I did see that Sam Levinson, who did the show, he said that Euphoria and The Idol exist in the same universe.
Yeah. Hey, Sam, I don't think anybody cares, my man. I don't want to live in like a universe where teenagers are that drug addled and sexual. That's just like not post-COVID, I just don't think that exists.
I know, I don't
like that's
it.
Not real. Well, like so it. For people who are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. This is a show on HBO coming in June. And the log line is, after nervous breakdown derailed Jocelyn, Lily Rose Depp, her last tour, she's determined to claim her rightful status as the greatest and sexiest pop star in America. Her passions are reignited by Tedros, a nightclub impresario with a sordid past. That's The Weeknd. Will her romantic awakening take her to glorious new heights or the deepest, darkest depths of her soul? Probably the latter. This looks like Euphoria. It looks visually provocative. I am bothered by The Weeknd. I am bothered by Lily Rose Depp. I'm also bothered by how strange the supporting cast is.
Yes.
Okay, so you notice that too. Like, it's Eli Roth, Anne Hesh, RIP, Hank Azaria, Jesse Spano, Dan Levy, the bright spots for me are Divine Joy Randolph, who was in High Fidelity, the Hulu remake. She was a revelation in that. And Rachel Sennott, I think is how you say it. She was in Shiva Baby. Otherwise, this feels like two different TV shows already in the trailer, with Lily Rose Depp and The Weeknd doing weird sex stuff, and then everybody else kind of doing like prestige Veep. And I don't know what to make of it, honestly.
Well, I will say it is the worst Rotten Tomatoes score of an HBO show in history.
In history so far. Okay. Well, that's something, you know, that's an accomplishment, in a different kind of context. I think if you're reading the tea leaves on like why, I think, sure, it could just be like the content, right? It could just be bad.
Yeah.
But I think in addition to that, we're kind of still in that anti-Nepo babies phase. We're still a little wary of Johnny Depp. Sam Levinson has a lot of beefs with people who are fans of Euphoria and are very online. Sam Levinson himself is very online and very skittish on how he's perceived. He's also really talented, but he's kind of a whiny little baby boy, like a baby back B word. Malcolm and Marie, a movie on Netflix, is an entire vibe, and it's so well shot, but it's also has dialogue that's so self-indulgent and whiny that it ruins the whole movie. And I just think the over-sexualized, explicit pretension is kind of all over this. So that it feels like all those things are conspiring to make what might be a decent show and just kind of submarine it totally, you know?
I think the only person who would disagree with you is probably Theo James and Rose Leslie, who would be like, no, we're so glad because we were in the worst rated HBO show called The Time Traveler's Wife. And we're so glad that now we're not the worst.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, and guys, also that show was awful, and I loved that book, and that show was garbage.
I'm trying to remember the name of the TV show with Dustin Hoffman where all those horses died and they had to cancel it early. It's not a horse girl movie. That is definitely not a horse girl TV show, you know. So that's one of my kills. What else you got, Jamie?
Okay, my other kill is just, you know, traveling in the summer. So Knox loves the summer, loves to go to the beach. And look, I get that some of you have to travel in the summer because you're teachers, or for some reason you decided to have kids and that's the only time they're not in school. So be it. But here is why I think traveling in the summer should be killed. First of all, it's crowded. Children are cranky and they're everywhere. Now, I didn't say I don't want kids to travel. Now, do I think kids should be on planes? No, I do not. I've said by that for many years and I will still stand by that. But I just want children to go where I'm not. They go to the beach and an amusement park. And camping, it's crowded. Everyone smells. You're in a line waiting for a mediocre corn dog at the state fair of the least of the states. You know who you are.
Yeah,
and
Oklahoma.
You're not even trying. You're not even trying with your state fair. And it's too much. Also, guys, the sun is not good for you. Okay, it's not. You can take a vitamin D supplement because I wear sunscreen every day. And my doctor was like, "You don't have enough vitamin D." And I was like, "Am I in trouble?" And she was like, "No, you just take a supplement." So just take a supplement.
Yeah.
And then keep your face looking pristine and don't get the skin cancer. One out of every five people are going to get skin cancer. Wear your Black Girl sunscreen, another Black owned beauty brand, by the way. And then the weather. I think the weather in the summer, everybody's like, "Oh, but the sun. No. Thunderstorms every day. Wildfires the entire summer. Hurricanes just barreling down. And you're not even on the ocean. And you're like, well, we're dealing with a hurricane now in middle America. Like, that's what the climate has done to us. So I would actually say kill moving around in the summer. Just
kill moving around. Listen, so have you seen this like El Nino thing? Like El Nino's back and it's gonna make it hotter. It's just like
El Nino colon electric boogaloo?
It's like, do you remember the Chris Farley El Nino SNL skit? It's just him and he's just turning thermostat up. That's all he's doing. And so it's going to be like
you guys,
meltingly
it's gonna
hot.
Be so hot. Even in the places where y'all like, our summers are great. Minnesota, she coming for you. She coming for you.
You know, I'm very interested in the evolution of your platform as well, because not only are you like, let's clean civilization of the olds, but yeah. You're also like, let's segregate the youngs too. Let's get them out of here. You know, listen, that's you're like, I'm appealing to the base, the belt of humanity.
You think you're going
to
shame me?
No, I'm not shaming. Isn't shaming at all. I'm fascinated.
No, that's what I'm saying. The listeners think, oh, good. Stick it to her, Docs. That doesn't bother me at all. Y'all think, you think I have feelings? Feelings repressed. Enneagram 7. Welcome to
no,
the game.
No, see, this isn't about shame. This is like political theater. You know, I'm like, I'm interested in how different platforms form, like adapt and survive.
Listen,
you know, and I'm watching
how about
in
this?
Real time.
On record, I promise when I am over 75, I will not still be making this podcast. I promise you. I will be sitting outside drinking watermelon puree with a splash of vodka and taking Delta 29, because those would be the gummies they make then, and I'll be living my best life.
You're like, I'm gonna be like that old woman in Midsommar when you knew it got real and she just jumped off the cliff. Spoiler, but it's not.
That's
it's like,
right.
Whoa, this is not a cool movie.
That's exactly right.
My last kill is I'm gonna kill two Apple TV shows. Okay.
Uh-oh,
permission
okay.
to mass murder two of these shows.
Yes, please.
The first one's Hijack. Have you heard of Hijack? Do you know anything about Hijack?
No. You know, I'm not an Apple fan for the most part, but for TV.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay. Hijack is a TV show starring Idris Elba. Okay. It comes out in June.
Okay.
There are no trailers. There are only still photos and only press releases on the Apple site where you get redirected if you're trying to pre-order a phone that just gets released. It's not good. And
that
it's
is bad.
The cast is fine, but I can't see anything. And traditionally, not a very smart guy. But if I'm not seeing any kind of video evidence that you have a TV show ready to go, I would assume a cynical version of me would assume you're trying to bury that thing. So I don't think that's probably going to be worth your time this summer. And then I would also say I might be completely wrong, but I'm just like, I'm trusting my instinct.
Okay.
The Crowded Room. I think The Crowded Room is not going to be good.
Okay.
Because if you watch this trailer, this is like, what if Spider-Man was an introvert and didn't get the benefit of the doubt and also might dabble in some serial killing, you know? Like serial killer spider into the murderverse.
Not actually Spider-Man, just Tom Holland.
Nobody is, right? And that's part of the deal. I think part of the problem with this show is it's Tom Holland. So your first thing is, that's Spider-Man. But the problem is, I think he is trying to undo that, right? And
yeah.
I'm kind of going to go against myself. I normally say, like, when you're that identified with someone, you have to go to great lengths to get unaffiliated with them, like Chris Evans has been doing.
Yeah.
I actually think, Tom Holland, you don't need to do that. Because I think if you've got so much charisma and likability, I don't think you need to show your range as, like, a weirdo. I think all you do is just, like, slowly edge out. And like, you can be a douchebag or you can be a jerk or you can be kind of a complicated good guy. I don't think you have to be a potential serial killer. I think.
Yeah, I agree with that.
For him to succeed, like mimic Michael J. Fox's career, just not like with the Spin City, like on television, because things are different now. But I think always play little iterations of the same person you are because he's so freaking likable. So when he does something like this, I'm like, this is strange. And also, Amanda Seyfried and Tom Holland, they both look like 12-year-olds. So why are they like in big boy pants and shirts and talking about big boy stuff? You know, I don't understand it.
That's true. Do you think Tom Holland is being influenced by Zendaya, who is like, look, I'm on drugs in Euphoria. Like, I don't even have mascara on.
Maybe.
You should do something like that.
She had like a Disney Channel thing to get over, which is a little different because it's so like rooted. You know, she's so anchored to that idea. But I think he is so charming and likable, and he is dead set on, was it Cherry, where he did kind of the same thing?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I just don't think, I'd rather see him take like a Ryan Gosling track where he's always kind of a good guy, but you can complicate that goodness.
Oh, that's actually a perfect example of Ryan Gosling at being like, yeah, like,
yeah, you know, like Zac Efron tried to do this and be a serial killer, and that movie was, I don't remember the name of it, but it was fine. But I just don't think that's the move for Tom Holland right now. You know,
no, so I agree with you. Good call.
Let's murder that thing. Let's get it out of here. Okay, well, that is our conversation on the Smooch, the Marys, and the Kills of June. I feel like we're very comprehensive and very helpful to people. But if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. NarcJamie.com/507. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
Okay, what is your red light this week?
Okay, so the Cannes Film Festival just wrapped up this past weekend, and I want to red light one specific red carpet look. And not because she is not stunning. She is stunning. And it's Jennifer Lawrence. But here's the thing. She was at the Anatomy of a Fall premiere. She's wearing this bespoke cardinal red Christian Dior couture ball gown featuring a wraparound shawl. She's wearing Dior diamonds. Like, she's a Dior girl. Like, she's a Dior rep. And she has this beautiful scallop neckline, this full pleated skirt. Stunning. But do you know when she walked down the stairs at Cannes, what was revealed?
That she fell again?
Because she's always falling? No, that she was wearing flip-flops.
Oh.
Okay, now, were they flip-flops that cost $790? Yes. Okay. Were they cute? No, they were not. Here's the thing. As a reminder, doubling down, tripling down, probably 10 times down because I do this every year. But as a reminder, flip-flops give you bone spurs, inflamed ankles, hammer toes, corns. It changes your stride. You have gross heels that we can all see. Whereas if you just don't, if you're like, I'm not going to pumice anything, then just stick it in a shoe so we don't have
then
to
hide
see it.
You know?
Then just hide your crusty, dusty heel. Toe hair, I know we have a lot of debate on whether toe hair should stay or go. I think it should always go. Just like the hair under your arms, I think no one should have hair under their arms, including men. It's disgusting.
In a perfect world, everybody looks like NoHo Hank from Barry. You know, just like hairless and perfect.
That's exactly right. Weird toenails. Listen, it's okay if you've got a weird toenail. That happens to Brie Larson. It can happen to you, okay? But here's what I'm going to say. If you've got a weird toenail that's hanging on, don't put it in a flip-flop, okay? Stick it in a sneaker, all right? And then the bottom of your feet, when you're in flip-flops all day long, they're just a layer of dirt. It's okay. So you can wear flip-flops for the following circumstances only. Pedicures, shared showers, and on the beach. That's a flip-flop appropriate place. Because you know what? Your feet deserve better. And the folks looking at your feet, they also deserve better. Okay?
That's a word. That's a word.
Thank you.
Brie Larson, is she the one who has like an extra toe? Like a weird toe? Or is it just a weird?
No, Jennifer Lawrence is the one that has like, not Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Garner is the one that has the additional like half toe, like twin toe that's coming out.
She's got five and a half.
No, Brie Larson has the, just Google it. It gets a lot of hits. Brie Larson feet. She has her and Mandy Moore both have a big toenail that just won't stay with them.
Oh,
and
no.
She keeps losing it. And so there's but listen, do I appreciate the confidence of being like, this is my weird toe. I'm always going to wear strappy heels.
Yeah.
You better enjoy it. I like the confidence of that. But
do you think
not...
she's underestimating foot fetishists or she's playing to the foot fetishists?
No, she's 100% playing to the foot fetishists.
Yeah.
She's like,
that is.
Oh, do you like this? You like my Captain Marvel toe? Like my weird Captain Marvel toe? Yeah, you like it? It's good.
I feel like we just, you know, used to like royalty and like celebrities and famous people, there's always like, do they have a sixth leg or sixth arm or toe or finger? And we just don't do that anymore.
Harry Styles has extra nipples. Like, and look, I'm not opposed to the thing. Just like, for example, I went shopping with Sophie Hudson because I needed to understand how clothes work at age
47. Does Sophie have a third arm or something? Like
no, but she was like, oh, let's pick out some earrings because you have pierced ears, right? And I was like, yeah, but I have this weird fleshy lobe. And she was like, you're silly. And then we put on a stud and she was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, all right. Well, we won't get those then. Okay, because I have a fleshy lobe that makes the stub stick up straight.
Oh, no.
And so she was the stud of the earring. And she was like, oh, you really meant it. And I'm like, yeah, I really meant it. I have weird ears. So
yeah.
I don't hide my ears, but I also recognize that my ears are weird and I don't need to wear a stud that sticks straight up in the air. So I wear a nice French hook. Like you play to your strengths, you guys.
Yeah.
You play to your
strengths. You just got to play the hand you're dealt. I don't know what to do with fleshy lobes. I don't know if that's a t-shirt. I just don't know if that's a band name. But
oh,
I
know
what
it can.
Something.
I know how much it can pay you on OnlyFans. Ask me how I know.
My red light this week is, now that we're getting into summer, I feel like, big slushy, big icy has, made us kowtow to them for too long. And I think they've made us think that there's some like secret sorcery or metallurgy going on that, goes into making slushes and making ices. Yeah. But like when you think about it, there's not. Like they're in the raceways here in Tennessee, and I see how they're made, and I see the people who are in charge of them. You know, there's one raceway where I walked in and I was about to ask if they had Pepto Bismol because one of our kids' stomach was upset, and I said, "Hey, do you?" And he said, "No." He just said no, and I was like, and he goes, "I don't." And I was like, I don't know if that's true, but I don't like the energy here and I don't know what to do with that. So like, that was my first realization. That was my first slushy deconstruction where I was like, wait a minute, there's gotta be a better way. And you know, you can just make slushies at home. Like I realized that, like we have a blender.
But how do you make them at home where it's the shaved ice?
Okay. Secondly, we don't need shaved ice. Like why are we unnecessarily queuing up the image of hair with our ice? Like there's no waxed ice or laser removal ice, so why are we allowing shaved ice?
But that's, you know, because it's nice and like it's chipped
yeah. ice. Can we call it chipped ice? Because chips are better than hair that you've taken off your body.
It is,
would you agree with that?
Chip, but like if I chip a nail, I don't want to eat that with a nice Dr. Pepper syrup. I sure. would rather have a shaved ice.
No, you don't want a shaved ice. You've been culturally conditioned to say shaved ice. You know, if in 1717 they invented shart ice and you would just grow up saying shart ice, you would be like, man, that kind of sounds like a fart ice. Like that's just normalized. So we just normalize these things. But all you got to do is get a blender that can do the job. Target, they sell the slushy or the icy syrups, and or you can just get them on Amazon, and the ice comes from God or your fridge or whatever, and you can do these yourself. Like you don't have to rely on these places.
But when you go to Bucky's, they have the Dr. Pepper icies, and that's the only place I can get the Dr. Pepper
icies. Listen, there are some bespoke slushes and icies that are worth the trip, but like on your own, you don't have to. You're not alone. You don't have to do this by yourself. You can no, actually, you can do this by yourself. You can literally do it by yourself and make your own slushies. So, like, let's not be victims to Big Slushy anymore. Let's take the power back. You know, put it in our own hands here this summer.
Okay, fair enough.
What's your green light this week?
Okay, my green light is a book, you guys. So, as you recall, T.J. Newman was a flight attendant who became an author, and I greenlit her debut novel, Falling, was amazing. But let me tell you, her newest book just came out this week. It's called Drowning, and it is better. Listen, this is an aggressive page turner. It is a thriller about a commercial jetliner that crashes into the ocean, sinks to the bottom with passengers trapped inside, and the rescue operation to save them because the water doesn't get in the plane immediately.
What?
It's slowly coming in. And here's the thing. The best part of it, it's in the Pacific Ocean. During the evacuation, engine explodes. The plane starts to get flooded. I'm not giving away any spoilers. However, they're waiting. So this engineer is on the plane with his 11-year-old daughter, and they're fighting for their lives. And who is trying to rescue them? Professional diver Chris, who is Shannon's mother and Will's soon-to-be ex-wife.
What?
And they must work together to find a way to save them. It's, y'all, listen, it's heart-stopping. It's very emotional, but it is exactly what you're looking for when you're looking for a page turner. This thing, I stayed up to like 2:30 in the morning because I started. I was like, I'm just going to start it and see if I like it at like 11. And then I had to stay up till almost 3 in the morning to finish it. It was that good. So, Drowning by T.J. Newman.
Am I a bad person because I love plane crash books and movies? Does that make me a bad person?
No, I love plane crash. I think it's something we're always thinking in the back of our mind.
Sure.
Even though we're much more likely to be in a car crash than ever be in a plane crash.
Absolutely.
But I think it's just like we always think, what should I be in the front of the plane? Should I be in the back of the plane?
Yeah.
What would I do? How would I go down that slide? Would I go face
first? Am I exit row material? I don't know that I am.
No, I don't think I am. I know that. I don't think either of us are, really.
No. Plane crash bad, obviously. But if there's going to be a fictional plane crash, I'm interested, you know.
Well, you know, I'm interested since I listen to flight recorder recordings.
That is a
hobby.
Personal nuance that is.
Well, because I'm always thinking, what is the pilot saying as it's going down? I want to know.
Yeah. This is, you know, we don't yuck yums. And sometimes that gets put to the test, but we got to have principles, don't we?
That's right. Okay. What's your green light?
My green light is, I'm going to do, this is an obvious one, but I feel like we just got to talk about it. Barry season 4, we're coming up on the finale that I haven't seen because we're back in time and this is going to be future time. So it's all confusing for me. The season's great and I don't even care how they end it because Barry, the whole time it's been around, it has represented hope in a wasteland of reboots and IP obsessions and shows that go on way too long. The filmmaking is just singular and strange, and the storytelling is so revelatory, but like very organic, and the performances are risk-taking. The dialogue is so understatedly brilliant, and it is just a testament to let a really creative person be really creative, but also surround them with some structure, professionals, you know, which is a lot of what people are striking about right now. Like Alec Bird and Duffy Boudreau came alongside Bill Hader and helped him make this show. It comes from Bill Hader's brain, but they also helped put that into place. And I feel like on this show particularly, you can really see the railroad tracks for that. If you haven't started it, I think it's more than worth catching up this summer, because I think it's like 32 episodes, 8 per year, 4 seasons, and it's half hour, and it is just really remarkable storytelling.
Listen, yeah. I just got to the middle of season 4,
okay.
And I wasn't ready. It's so good.
Have you gotten to the Fred Armisen episode?
Yes.
My God, like the two podcasters who are assassins, the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
The best.
Then the other green light is a book as well, as Jamie's. It's called Stone Cold Fox. And Stone Cold Fox, Ashley recommended this to me, and she went through it in like 2 days. So I was like, well, okay, I'll probably like that too, because again, it is wealthy dysfunction. But it's from the perspective of a character named B. Her only goal is to marry super freaking filthy rich. And it's because we learned that her childhood was spent as her mom's like scam assistant in swindling wealthy men out of their money. But she grows up and she just wants to become her own person and disappear into the safety of really, really old money. But the man she's targeted for marriage is a blue blood with a pesky childhood best friend named Gail, who kind of can sense what B is up to. And hijinks and deception ensue. And it is just I don't want to call her like a femme fatale, but there's a little bit of that aspect of it. But
oh,
there's
like
also
that.
the wealthy and the rich background and the dysfunction that I really enjoy. So I think people will really enjoy this book. Okay, that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you do shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepopcast first. Our favorite item purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is a ratcheting screwdriver. Do you know what that is? Ratcheting screwdriver?
Is this the one where it turns and then it lets you turn back without turning it again?
Yeah, it does. And it also has like different pockets, so where like you can get different
you can get little bits.
Different bits.
So this is by Craftsman, you know, iconic maker of screwdrivers, second only to the bartender at at the Collins. Anyway,
that's right.
This has 4.7 stars and 1,100 global ratings, but I want to tell you what people are real upset about in the questions and in the reviews. They are upset that this is not magnetic. This has driven them mad to the fact that 1/2 of the questions asked are, is this magnetic? Guys, read the other questions. But my God, can I help you? But here are my two favorite reviews. The one-star reviews first come from this guy, Softy, which feels right. Useless garbage. The screwdriver came with the Phillips bit already in it. How dare they? And then he ends it with, my, how Craftsman has fallen. That is, if this is even Craftsman and not a fake.
Wow. Okay.
So, and then Hi Jackson said, ends this review with, this Craftsman has no redeeming qualities. Craftsman Tools and I have parted company.
Oh, listen, my gosh. Listen, so dramatic.
Never doubt that the most dramatic person on Amazon in the comments is always going to be a man with a screwdriver.
You better believe it.
All right, you guys, don't forget to sign up for Note for the Audio. We have a very fun pop culture summer bucket list coming this Friday. So you can sign up at the link in the show notes or go to notjustandjamie.com/newsletter. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.